So the only one whose opinion counts is the Merlin, I said. Pretty much. Then Ramirez frowned at me. You don't look surprised. I'm not, I said. If something can go wrong, it does. I've accepted that by now. He tilted his head. I've just told you the kid will probably be found guilty before she's tried. Yeah, I said. I chewed on my lip. This would make things more difficult. I'd been counting on at least a little help from Ebenezer and his cronies. They knew the council procedures better than I did and how to manipulate them. They also knew the Merlin, who, magical talents aside, was a damned slippery fish when it came to maneuvering through a council meeting. The Merlin had every reason to oppose me, and therefore Molly. Now, if he wielded the votes of the people I'd been counting on to support me, he could literally be Molly's judge, jury, and executioner. Well, judge and jury, anyway. Morgan would do the executing. I ground my teeth. My plan could still work, theoretically, but there was very little I could do to alter the outcome from here on in. I glanced back at Molly. Here we were. I'd brought her to this turn. I'd see it through. Fine, I said. I can deal with this. Ramirez arched an eyebrow at me. I thought you'd look more upset. Would it help anything if I started foaming at the mouth? No, Ramirez said. It might explain a few things, but it wouldn't help, per se. Water, bridge, I said. Spilt milk. Accept things you cannot change. In other words, you have a plan, Ramirez said. I shrugged and smiled tightly at him, and just then, a low, throbbing engine approached the old warehouse. Ramirez's hand went to the butt of his gun. Easy, I told him. I invited them. A motorcycle wound its way through the maze of alleys and potholes between warehouses, and then crunched to a stop in the gravel beside the Blue Beetle. Fix flipped the bike's kickstand down, and then he and Lily got off the motorcycle. Fix flipped me a little salute, and I nodded back to him. Ramirez arched an eyebrow and said, "Is that who I think it is?" "Summer night and lady," I confirmed. "Well, crap," he said and scowled at me. "You going to turn this into some kind of fight?" "Los," I chided him. "Would I do that?" He gave me a steady look and then said, "You just had to ask me to handle security." "What can I say, man? No one else was pretty and talented enough." "No one is so talented that you couldn't make him look bad, Dresden," he muttered. Then he gave Lily and Fix a calculating look and said, "Well, this should be interesting at any rate. Introduce me?" "Yep, I did." Then Ramirez led us through the veil protecting the warehouse from perception. Two wardens at the door searched everyone for weapons. They even had one of those animate statues of a temple dog they used to detect hostile enchantments, veils, and concealed weaponry. The stone construct made me a little nervous. I had nearly been attacked by one over a false alarm once, but this time it passed me by without showing any interest. It lingered longest on Molly, once emitting a grindstone growl, but it subsided after a moment and returned to its post beside the door. I started to go inside, but Ramirez touched my arm. I stopped and frowned at him. He glanced at Molly and drew a black cloth from his belt. "You've gotta be kidding me," I said. "It's protocol, Harry." "It's sadistic and unnecessary." He shook his head. "I'm not offering an option here." He lowered his voice so that only I could hear him. "I don't like it either. But if you violate protocol now, especially in a case that involves mind control magic, it will be all the excuse the Merlin needs to declare the proceedings potentially compromised. He'll be able to pass summary judgment on the girl and put you and me both on precautionary probation." I ground my teeth, but Ramirez was right. I remembered when I had been brought before the council for the first time. One thing, more than any other, stuck in my memory of that night. The scent of the black cloth hood they'd had over my head, over my face. It had smelled slightly of dust, slightly of mothballs, and no light whatsoever had come through to me. Some terrified corner of my brain had noted that so long as the hood was over my face, I wasn't really a person. I was only a creature, a statistic, and one that was a potential threat at that. It would be far easier to pass and mete out a death sentence when one did not have to look at the face of the damned. I took the hood from Ramirez and turned to Molly. "Don't be afraid," I told her quietly. "I'm not going anywhere." She stared back into my eyes, terrified and trying to look brave. She swallowed and nodded once, then closed her eyes. I cast a resentful look at the warehouse, then I slipped the hood over Molly's pink and blue hair and pulled it down over her pale face. "Good enough?" I asked Ramirez. It wasn't fair for me to blame him for it, but the note of accusation in my voice came through far more strongly than I had intended. Ramirez glanced away, shame on his face, and nodded. Then he held open the warehouse door. I took Molly's hand and led her inside.